You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the meeting grounds for spirituality and society, religion and culture.
I'd like to now invite Rolly to read out a reading for us, and this comes from a member of the One Girl community.
What does blindness sound like to you? It seems like a strange question, but if you've ever lost one of your senses, even temporarily, the others seem to kick in more strongly. Makes sense, really. Try turning off all the lights and focus on what you can hear. Or think about how you're so much more aware of every sound at night when you're in bed, in the dark. Now imagine your world is like this all the time. You could just give up, give in, or you could just give. That's what Fatima's father, Al-Haji, chose to do. He's been partially blind for the last 15 years, but found a way forward so that he can keep giving to his family and his community. Al-Haj works as a security guard for 12 hours every night at a blind school in Sierra Leone to help support his son and two daughters. The family all live there too. Al-Haj's wife died years ago from a stomach illness. They rushed her to hospital, but it was too late to save her. Al-Haj had been the sole parent ever since, on a journey that hasn't been easy. One of the hardest things for him to face was pulling Fatima out of school because there wasn't enough money to pay for her school fees. She'd already lost her mother and then had to face giving up the one thing that offered her promise of opportunities that Al-Haj never had, an education. Al-Haj is an incredibly bright guy. He would have loved to finish school, but he couldn't and he didn't. The idea that his daughter, so passionate about learning, would be forced to give up the same future as him was too much. So when the One Girl scholarship opportunity came along for Fatima, it meant the whole world to them both. Since being offered the scholarship, Fatima has had the opportunity to go back to school. The hours spent studying in her class and her favourite part of the day matched only by the joy she has in sharing what she's learnt with her father. Fatima and Al-Haj share a really special bond. They talk constantly about school and they share ideas. Al-Haj may have limited sight, but his vision is clear. He sees the path ahead for his daughter will be an easier one than he had to navigate, thanks to her having an education. Fatima herself loves school, with her favourite subject being English. Her goal once she graduates is to study to become a nurse or doctor and then help her father and other people at the blind school. Despite the challenges Al-Haj and his family face, living in a country where people with disabilities are stigmatized, they have all pushed through the darkness, each in their own way. Close your eyes. Concentrate only on what you can hear. While nearby, the relaxed breathing of a blind man can be heard as he drifts off to slumber after his night shift draws to a close. He dreams of a day he hears the clomping of feet, now clad in nurse's shoes, walking down the halls of the blind school, ready to start the day's rounds, and a voice that confidently introduces itself. "Hi, I'm your nurse, Fatima, and I'll be taking care of you today." He can hear it so clearly, punctuating the darkness. His girl, his daughter, his hopes for her realized. The sweet sound of one girl's future. This is what graduation means for Fatima and her family. There are countless girls in Sierra Leone and other countries who dream of the same opportunity, and we can give it to them.
Thank you so much, Rolly. I'd now like to invite Khadija up to share with us.
Hi, everyone. Excuse me, I'm not feeling well this morning. This invitation to be here today has been long-standing. I'm a bad friend. How long have you been asking me to come speak, Sandy?
A couple of years,
finally made it. I was born in Sierra Leone. And it's interesting when I heard of one girl, an organization that is sending girls to school in Sierra Leone, I thought, why would two people who live in Melbourne care about girls who live across the world in a place that most people couldn't even pinpoint in a map? And I remember being feeling so much gratitude that two strangers who, in their kindness, decided to change the lives of not just the girls they had met at that particular time before they started One Girl, but generations to come. Being born in Sierra Leone, the reality is that I grew up at a time my grandfather was a chief. That makes me a princess. You can all address me as a princess if you want. My grandfather was a chief, which meant he was very politically involved and he had a lot of power. And he had three wives. So that meant I have a lot of aunties and uncles. But my grandfather, at his time, was raised when girls didn't go to school. In fact, the ideology of the day was that girls just needed to get married and have babies. And that was it. And everybody sent their sons to school, because it was more practical to send your son to school. But my grandfather made a decision that was very out there for that time. He sent every single one of his daughters who wanted to go to school. The opportunity was available to them. Not all of them took it, but it was available to them. So that meant my mom was educated. So when war broke out in Sierra Leone and we had to flee, the fact that my mom had an education changed the course of our lives. So we ended up in Gambia in a refugee camp. And in there, we found a lot of other women who, due to lack of education, couldn't actually provide for their families. Some of them had to marry off their daughters to older men to survive. Or some of them had to go into sex work. Because my mom had an education, she was able to teach and provide for me and my sister. And because she had an education, she was also able to apply for refugee status and allow us to be in Australia right now. The power of education can never be underestimated, because my grandfather made one decision that I don't think it was an easy one to make in his time, but he made it. And because he did, even now when I look at my family tree, all the girls, all the women who are now older with their kids, because of education, I could track how their lives all turned out in unique ways. We're able to be in Australia now, and then my auntie, my mom's other sister, is able to be here with her two kids because my mom got that education. And it's amazing how I have never thought of the decision my grandfather made in so many ways until actually I started talking to the people at One Girl, because it just seemed to have just been something so simple, so easy. But when I listened to my mom growing up, I remember constantly something she said, and it was echoed by the book we just listened to, was read to us. She said, education is better than silver and gold. She said that all the time. So we were pushed to have an education. We were pushed to focus in school. Because my mom said, if something happened today, if we lost it all like we did before, the only thing you have is your education. That's the one thing nobody can take away from you. And nobody could take that away from her. Even though we left everything behind, we left with just the clothes on our back, literally running for safety. My mom's education, though, was in here. And in the end, it made a difference to my sister and I, and the life we now live as a result of that legacy. I got involved with One Girl, not because I was actually looking for them. A friend of mine sent me a Facebook message one day and said, hey, you're born in Sierra Leone. I'm like, yes, I am. She said, there's an organization that sends girls to school in Sierra Leone. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I have a lot of cousins. They all need to go to school. And I have to help them go to school. And I said, well, that's actually fantastic. So I got in touch with Chantel at the time. And basically, after telling me what she did, I said, how can I help? How can I utilize my voice and my experience? Because one of the things I realized is that when Sandy and the other ambassadors say to people, help us send girls to school in Sierra Leone, people go, well, first of all, where is Sierra Leone? And why should we care about people who live across the world when we have our own issues here? Yeah, those are all very valid questions. But we have so much privilege. I remember when we got here and the fact that my mom didn't have to pay for school fees was astonishing. The fact that she didn't have to pay school fees for me and my sister to have an education. That wasn't actually a barrier at all. And when I realized that boys and girls equally had access to that education, I thought, wow, that's fantastic. That is not the case for a girl born in Sierra Leone. By virtue of being born a girl in Sierra Leone, let me paint a picture of what your life typically would look like. Education is the last thing on anybody's mind for you. What they're thinking about is how can we raise you to be a good wife and a good mom one day? And you're lucky to get to the age of 7 without somebody raping you. You're lucky to get to the age of 15 without being already married off to a man who might be 15 and already has 3 other wives. You are lucky to reach the age of 15 and not suffer from female genital mutilation. You are lucky at all to see your 15th birthday. That's the reality of being a girl born in Sierra Leone. How lucky we are for our daughters in Australia, our children in Australia. So you're meeting a need. You are changing the course of a girl's whole life, not just her. When she gets educated, like my mom got educated, her daughters and her kids, their lives will get changed, and that will flow on. They say you educate a girl, you educate a whole community. And I can tell you this from even seeing my aunties here and back home. Women rule Sierra Leone in their own unique way. You want change, you go to the woman. You want something to be implemented, you go to the woman. And when the women have stood up with the power of education, say, we want to change certain things. Like recently, there's been so many rape being perpetrated against little girls in Sierra Leone. It's women who have stood up and said, this will not happen in our name. We need it to stop. That's the power of education. It's not just that one individual. It's their whole family and their community, and as a result, their nation. By joining One Girl, my hope was that somehow I'll put a face to young girls who you probably would never meet. But I would like to say that your kindness and your compassion will surely live beyond when your lives are finished, would live on as a legacy, just like my grandfather's legacy now lives on. And his very brave and powerful decision to send his daughters to school now means that me and my sister live in Australia and we have all the opportunities that could be afforded to us. And as a result, we're able to also then support the rest of our family back in Sierra Leone. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing your story, Khadija. I often come along as the, you know, support and cheer squad for Khadija when she speaks at different things. And every single time I just learn a different little thing, and it never has any less impact on me. We met at a One Girl training 3 or 4 years ago now, I think. And as I'm sure yours may be, my life has definitely been altered from that meeting, and I've found an amazing person and a very good friend. So why are we talking about this in a church service? It's a little bit random. It's maybe like not exactly the kind of service that we normally have, but I think it's because we see, as a community, we see that there's a responsibility that we have to do our part to make those dreams that those little girls have and those rights that we all have to education become a reality. So for the past couple of years, we've come together and given our time and occasionally our dignity and money to support this through the amazing organisation One Girl. We've dared our Minister Rob to get on a dress. and me to shave my head, both of which we achieved. And you can see the growth happening back now. I don't think I'll do it today, but maybe one day. I guess the more important thing, though, is that we achieved something special. We have achieved change. So I'd like to share with you one of the stories of that change, and that will be told to you through Chantel, who was one of the founders of One Girl that Khadija mentioned, and the people that she met visiting our projects in Sierra Leone. It's not going to want to play for me right now. Okay, I'll tell you about Isata, and I will share on the Unitarian Facebook page the video that I wanted to show you. We all know that little girls should be in school dresses and not in wedding dresses. When Isata was 10 years old, she was almost forced into a marriage. She was bright, she was clever, she was a prefect at her school, but her parents, struggling, impoverished, with very little, and so many other children to look after, essentially selling Isata into marriage seemed like the only solution for her to actually survive, for her to have food, for her to have a roof over her head. I was so young. I was too young, Isata says sadly. But she beat the odds. She was brave enough to stand up for herself and refuse the marriage. She said no. She was supported by her teachers at her school, who convinced her that their daughter deserved to stay in school. So she did. Until 2 years ago, when her father passed away. Isata was forced to drop out of school. From the age of 10, she'd already proved that she was a force to be reckoned with. She had big dreams, and she knew that education would help her realise them. And we agreed with her. So last year, Isata became a One Girl Scholar. Our scholarships focus on the most vulnerable girls, who are full of potential, girls with dreams, who we know that will become women with vision. And that's the reason why this exists. I would love to have been able to show you a story of another classmate of hers and her father, who had worked so hard to try and save the money to provide her with the school fees, and just seeing the look on his face when someone from One Girl came along with this little certificate issued that said, "It's paid. It's done. She can finish out her school." And just this sort of, you know, he was looking forward to, I think, maybe having a nice cup of tea with a visitor and not that. And seeing that on his face just go, "Oh my goodness, yes." And he was just, I mean, my Creole is limited to girl and boy and fine. But you could tell from what he's saying that, "Oh my goodness, just thank you so much." And he's just sitting down and standing up and sitting down and hugging Chantel, who was there to give him this statement saying, "She can go." So that's why we put on school dresses. Because when you put on a school dress and you show your support and you encourage people to support you and to give, girls like Isata can wear a school dress too. So you've probably never heard me say the words Jesus said, but I'd like to share with you some words. Love one another. That's pretty much it. I know there's other verses that come after that, but that's the key part for me. And what more can we actually do than share kindness and love with one another, to care for one another, and to do what we can for those who need it the most.
And that's our episode of Expanding Horizons for the week. The introduction is a piece named Elements by the artist CDK. The piece is licensed under Creative Commons. This is White Rabbit, out.